Working Cows Podcast, episode 131.
Welcome to the podcast that gives producers a platform to discuss and share paradigm-challenging practices. Practices that have increased the effectiveness of their operation and the joy that their families have received from this lifestyle.
Howdy, everybody. It's Clay Connery, host of the Working Cows Podcast, here with another episode for y'all, powered by the Global Ag Network. And I'm excited to welcome today Tim Hammerich and Dr. Abby Wick from the Soil Sense podcast that is put out by North Dakota State University. And so we're going to talk today about the idea for the podcast, where it came from, how it got started, how they've been handling the podcast, and how they've been going about capturing the stories from these different folks that they've been featuring. And so it's a good opportunity to be exposed to another great agricultural podcast out there, and really hope that other people will start taking the opportunity. A previous guest of the podcast did reach out to me and let me know that he started a podcast as well, albeit in Spanish. But if you are a native Spanish speaker, or if you are fluent enough in Spanish to listen in on conversation, you have the opportunity to check out Daniel Suarez's Ganaderia Regenerativa podcast. I think I said that right. It is basically regenerative ranching in Spanish. But he started another podcast, and we need more agricultural podcasts. I'm excited to talk about all of those things with Dr. Abby Wick and Tim Hammerich of the NDSU Soil Sense podcast. Tim, Abby, thanks for joining me today on the Working Cows podcast.
Thank you, Clay. Appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Glad to be here.
So you guys have recently launched the second season of the Soil Sense podcast. Abby, could you talk a little bit about where that got started and what you guys were looking to do with the first season?
Yeah, it's kind of an exciting story because it really came from farmers. And there was a day that I was riding around in a tractor with a farmer, and I just was kind of asking him. I was like, Darren, what do you listen to? What do you do while you're in this tractor all day? And he's like, well, I really listen to podcasts quite often. And he didn't say quite often. He said, I listen to podcasts. That keeps me busy, keeps my mind thinking. And so it just kind of come about from that, where it seemed like a podcast was a great way to share information. And fortunately, I had just met Tim that fall, because he was in North Dakota recording another series. And so I had the connection, and Tim was willing to do it. And we had farmers willing to share their story, and also researchers and extension and consultants. So it worked out pretty well.
And Tim, how have you gone about capturing the interviews themselves and some of those things? What's been your role in this project?
Been really fun. My role is basically to be the host of the show, and really it's involved going out and talking to as many different people as possible in North Dakota. And Abby mentioned that we met on a different project, and it was at that project that I realized, first of all, how on the cutting edge North Dakota was due to soil health. And what I didn't realize until I started getting in and doing these interviews was it was really because of the collaboration that was happening. It's not just, you know, there are some definitely soil health pioneers up there that are doing impressive work, but they are quick to point out all the other people that are collaborating with them to make it happen. And so it's really made for an unlimited amount of content that I could go out and interview and then put together.
So Tim, I think you're willing to do this for me. I didn't ask you beforehand, but I'd like you to get on the We Need More Agricultural Podcast soapbox for a minute, because I find the same thing with my podcast, that I've got way more content that I could create than I have time to create.
Absolutely. First of all, there's a few different reasons why that is a soapbox that I'm happy to hop upon. Number one is because podcasts are extremely niche. They're extremely unique. It's not just there needs to be one ag podcast. There really could be, you know, several podcasts that focus on just what I do on my other show, which is Ag Innovation, or this one in terms of soil health. And first of all, because different people are going to resonate with others differently. But second of all, and Abby can attest to this because she's seen it on the farmer side a lot, people have a lot more to say than they give themselves credit for. You know, we'll line up one of these interviews and they'll say, well, why do you want to talk to me? What do I have to say? And then we'll just start talking and an hour goes by and they're like, boy, I didn't realize I had I had so much to say. And so there is a lot of information out there that people don't give themselves credit for having. And you and I can't possibly create enough podcast episodes to bring all of that to light.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I've got a list of guest recommendations longer than my arm. Now, I'm not a very big guy. It doesn't take much, but I do have a list of podcast recommendations longer than my arm of people who I should be interviewing. And then on top of that, there's so many of them that I've only had on my podcast once, and they've got so much great stuff to say. It's a shame that they haven't had more of a platform and more opportunity to share the things that they have to say. So, if you're sitting there thinking I have something to say, there is a niche for you, and agricultural podcast niche is definitely not filled out yet. So go for it. And I can probably speak for Tim and myself. We would definitely be willing to help you get that started. But I have one of my listeners to my podcast reached out to me one time, and he referred to my podcast as Tractor Seat University, that he listens while he's driving around and he learns things. And so, Abby, if you could talk a little bit about what you were hoping to accomplish with the podcast and with making the connection with Tim, and what were you hoping people would learn? What were you hoping to do with the podcast?
You know, I was excited about it because, you know, we've done a lot of other things with extension. We've done videos that, you know, that last the 2.5 minutes it takes for a farmer to get from one end of the field to the other on AutoSteer. We've done things with the web. I felt like we had done all these other things, but this podcast, after I listened to the ones that Tim was doing, I realized that it was more than just somebody spewing out all these details in their story. It was really somebody that was pulling these stories together like Tim does. And so, so I'm not sure I'd realized what podcasts could do until I met Tim. And then as he came out here to North Dakota to record the first ones, just so we could go to the farmers' fields and kind of see what was going on and get a better feel for what we were doing. And in those conversations that Tim and I had in the pickup driving around, it became clear that what was unique about our system were the collaborations. And he was helping me see that aspect of it. And it really, I mean, he's definitely right when he says these farmers get on and they on the podcast, and at first they're like, oh, I'm not even going to fill like 15 minutes. I got nothing. I'm not doing anything unique. And then you hear them share their stories for an hour with Tim. And it's really cool to hear that information come out. And then, you know, the other thing that Tim kind of pointed out is that now they have a recorded history of what they're doing in a way that their kids can listen to and their grandkids could listen to. And it's neat that they're having that outlet to share their information.
Could you talk a little bit about the collaborative nature of agriculture and the soil health community in North Dakota? I know I've listened to some of the Soil Sense podcasts and gotten some idea about what's going on there. But could you talk about some of the different things that you guys are doing to facilitate that collaboration and some of the fruit that's coming out of that?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is perspective. I think a lot of us view soil health up here as that we're learning alongside each other, that there's no single entity that can do everything, you know, that the farmers can do so much with testing practices, but to get the real numbers for differences that they might see or reasons behind what they're observing, they need some university involvement, and researchers need extension to share that message with other people, and extension, you know, relies on consultants to introduce us to farmers. And so it's neat how, especially here, I mean, just because this is where I've experienced it most, is that everybody's relying on each other for something. And it's a really cool way to go forward as a network, as a group of people that are doing this together. So I think, you know, I think that's kind of what's unique about what we're doing here. I've noticed a lot too, that just in North Dakota, because we have such a harsh climate, that people are generally just really nice and happy to see other people. So it's helpful when you go to a farm and a farmer's just really excited to see somebody else and have some conversation. So it's worked out pretty well for our area.
Yeah. My context is that go ahead, Tim.
Oh, I was just going to say, there's another piece that's really come to light on this season two of Soil Sense, which is the shift in perspective towards trying to build healthier soils is creating this dynamic where farmers they get reignited excitement about what they do. And so we had a couple of farmers on the show, one of the episodes this season, that said they've been friends since they were in kindergarten or before, and they used to talk on the phone for maybe 10 minutes. And now they get on the phone, they talk about what they're doing to try to improve soil on their farm, and they talk for over an hour. And it's just, I really notice that consistently throughout the farmers we're interviewing, which is they're just way more excited about what they do for a living than maybe others who aren't as focused on this.
Yeah. And I was going to say that, you know, my context was that I was a pastor of a church in a small town, a youth and associate pastor, before I moved out to a very rural context. My house is 20 miles from the church. My house is 35 miles from the nearest gas station, just to give you a sense of some of the how rural I am. And I've noticed that the people here at the church, you know, they come, they attend the Sunday school class, they attend the church service, and then it's usually an hour, hour and a half before the church is cleared out of people after the service, because they're just happy to get together and to see other people. And so that facilitates some pretty good collaboration. I really appreciate that idea. What are some of the stories that you featured in season one, I guess, on the Soil Health or the Soil Sense podcast? Tim, if you want to talk a little bit about that.
Sure. We did 15 episodes, and then we released a bonus episode, which was actually the visit that brought me out to North Dakota in the first place with Joe Brecker. But what's been neat about it is every single one's different. Season two is going to be like this too, where, you know, in some cases we'll have a couple of farmers on. In some cases we'll have a researcher and a farmer. In some cases we'll have a couple researchers. For example, this very first one we released today, actually, as we're doing this interview for season two, is with someone who works in ag retail as an agronomist, and someone who farms but was an extension agent, and how they work together, extension agent and ag retailer, to try to bring more solutions to farmers collaboratively. So that's been part of the fun, is it is broad and diverse, and it's surprising where you see these collaborations. One that sticks out from season one, I think, to me, is the collaboration between Dr. Dave Franson, who's at NDSU, and a farmer named Anthony Tillamoni, and the research trials that took place on the farm, which led to a friendship, which led to this dynamic where they're bouncing ideas off of each other, one from maybe a scientific perspective and the other from a practicality perspective. And to me, that just kind of embodies what the podcast is all about. And just these two guys have a mutual respect and understanding for each other that goes way beyond, you know, just what's the science say or what's the farmer say. It's a very personal relationship.
Those are cool episodes too, because that's where Tim and I kind of realized that having two people on the podcast that have a relationship like that are working together is makes for a really fun episode. And so actually I think we did most of season two has joint interviews, which I think is fantastic. It adds a whole different dynamic.
Yeah, absolutely. Abby, could you talk a little bit about the challenges facing farming currently? What are some of the challenges facing the farming community? And what do you see as the Soil Sense podcast role in helping people overcome those challenges?
Boy, there was nothing easy about 2019, and actually started with harvest in 2018. And I think a lot of farmers across the country probably feel this, but in North Dakota, we really felt, we felt the climate and the issues just with harvest, with planting, with spraying, with getting any kind of heat up here to grow our crops. And so this, especially this winter, what I've noticed is that there are a lot of new people showing up to soil health programs or listening to the podcast and getting information on how maybe soil health practices are going to help them. So when I say soil health practices, we're talking about reducing tillage, incorporating some kind of cover crop, maybe to use more moisture, to build up structure in the soil, diversifying rotations. And you know, I think in a time like this, where in some cases farmers don't know what else to do because they're already doing everything they can within their current system, to kind of look at other practices that could be used and incorporate those. So this fall was a great example of how some of these farmers who have implemented soil health practices with the reduced tillage, the cover crops, the rotations, how they didn't sink a combine in the field. They really were able to go across because they had great structure in the soil. They were using moisture effectively with their cover crops and their cash crops at the right times during the growing season based on soil type. And I think they felt a lot of satisfaction in that as they were going across the field without sinking combines or grain carts, and they were still loading their trucks on the fields as well. other systems that didn't have the reduced till in it, and they were, you know, maybe two crops in rotation, or you know, soybean on soybean, and those kinds of systems, they sank a lot of combines this fall, and it was a real struggle and challenge. So we're seeing some of those growers coming to our meetings now to look for for other options and ways to improve their system.
And I had the privilege of sitting in virtually on the recent Farming and Ranching for the Bottom Line conference, and I'm not blowing smoke. I guess my Twitter feed and my email exchanges with you would indicate this, that your session was one of my favorites, or probably was my favorite. I was just looking the name of the young guy that was with you. Is it Jacob?
Morgan Jacobs, and also Tony Wagner.
And Tony Wagner. Yep. So that session was awesome. Both of those guys did a great job, and you did a good job of setting the stage and facilitating the conversation. And I emailed you while you were still on the stage and said, I'd love to sit down and talk about Soil Sense, the podcast and some of those things. And one of the things that became obvious in the course of that session was an echo of a recent episode that I did with the Minocan Farm, talking to Daryl Oswald there. And I asked him, I said, it seems to me, as a guy on the outside looking in, that integrating livestock is one of the hardest things. And Morgan shared about how they're doing that, and Tony shared about how they're doing that. And then the questions that came up after that session were a lot about integrating livestock, and is this going to cause compaction, and are there going to be issues with that? And so could you just give some examples of how you see people integrating livestock in the soil health community there in North Dakota, Abby?
Yeah, I see, you know, we don't have a ton of livestock in North Dakota, which I think we're hoping to get more. We have a lot of coalitions forming to get livestock back in higher numbers. And so I think, you know, when we have a grain farmer who's interested in adding that livestock component, we don't encourage a grain farmer to go out and get a bunch of cows, right? I mean, that would change their entire system, their mentality, the way they do things on the farm, the help that they have available. So we're encouraging more partnerships to come about. And so there's always a great opportunity, you know, if there are livestock in the area, to have them graze some of your cover crops in the field, or some farmers are looking at a full season cover crop to get the livestock out there. So those partnerships, I think, are one way to go about it. But we do have, and we'll see this in season two, we Tim talks to the farmer who has gone out, excuse me, and gotten some livestock in his operation. And it's fun to hear him talk about it, because he'll joke around and say, I still don't know what I'm doing, but he really has figured it out and has a really good system working on his farm.
And how have you seen feedback? What's the feedback been like, Tim, for you? Or what are some of the things that you are noticing as a guy who does a couple of other podcasts as well? What are some of the things you are noticing that are maybe unique to this podcast and the way that it's impacting not just North Dakota, but the country and literally around the world?
One thing that stands out is just how complicated, you know, building soil health is. You know, people talk about it, you know, with broad strokes like cover crops and reducing tillage, introducing livestock. But when you get down into the nitty gritty, it is so complicated and so complex and so dependent on a number of other factors. And so at first I went, okay, well, we're going to do 15 episodes on soil health and that'll be fun. And I didn't even, season two wasn't even on my mind. But the more you dig into something, and this is true probably for most things, more nuanced you realize it is, and the more stories come to light, and the more questions you have. So the more episodes I do, the more questions I have. So I think that's really coming through. I've had a lot of people tell me that they love how Soil Sense makes something so technical, so relatable. And so I think that's pretty cool, because at first, if you didn't know much about soil health, you wouldn't think of it as technical as it really is. And it's been a lot of fun, and it's been neat to see that feedback from people who start to appreciate the nuance a little bit more.
And Abby, have you heard anything from people who are changing the way they ranch as a result of the Soil Sense podcast, or as a result of what you guys have been doing to facilitate collaboration there at NDSU?
Yeah, I think we're seeing quite a bit of change. I've heard, you know, as far as the podcast goes, I've heard people just say that, oh, I didn't realize that so-and-so was doing that, and he farms right by me. Or, you know, they don't know that these farmers are trying these different things, and they're getting ideas and finding ways that those systems will work for them. And it doesn't have to be a farmer necessarily in their area or research done in their area to be able to apply those practices. So I think we're hearing a lot of excitement about it, just because people are finally hearing some of these conversations that are occurring. And I think the other thing too is that it's not, you know, one of my jobs here is, you know, is to help a farmer on their farm. But the other thing is to help them share their message. So I'm in the business of communication. I share information as for a living. Basically, that's what extension is. And so a lot of the farmers have a tough time getting their story out to just the general public, to a family who may live in New York City or Los Angeles and not know about agriculture, what farmers are doing, because they are stewards of the land. And so this is really helping. And we're seeing this, that the plays are for the podcast are happening in major cities where people are getting information, because like Tim said, it's a very complicated topic, but it's relatable, and these farmers make it relatable. So it's neat to see that.
Yeah. I have similar, stories. I guess I had an email one time from a NASCAR crew chief who said, I have just a few acres here and a couple of cows, but I really like listening to your podcast while I'm driving between races. So it's kind of crazy where podcasting will go. So that was cool. Abby, could you talk a little bit about your role with NDSU? What was the goal, or what was your position when you started there? What you mentioned communications, what were you coming there to do?
I was a pretty intensive researcher on reclaimed mine land. So I worked on coal mines and titanium mines with dredged sediments in Virginia before I moved here. And when I applied to this position, I actually had to look up what extension was, because I knew I liked the idea, and I knew I liked the extension people that I worked with in Virginia, but I didn't know what the potential was or what it could be. And so Dave Franzen had actually encouraged me to apply for this position. And I was like, oh man, I really better figure out what this is all about. And I got up here, and it was great because I had a blank slate. My position at NDSU was newly created, so I didn't have to fill any shoes. I didn't have to carry on any programs. I could totally do what I wanted to do. So I spent really the first year listening to what people needed out of this position. And so I met with farmers, and I was fortunate to have Lee Breeze, who's a crop consultant. He's in the first season of Soil Sense. He took me under his wing, and he took me out and introduced me to a lot of farmers. And I got to meet, you know, a lot of people that way and learn about the system. And then it just kind of, the more I listened, the more I could design the program to suit people's needs. And so, I guess I'm a communications type person, which I think I am, but I'm also kind of a listening person. I'm a sounding board and somebody that takes in ideas and tries to pull all these things together and make the connections that need to be made to have a successful program.
And Tim, are you doing these interviews remotely? And then they've got a couple of guys in the same room, or how's that working for you?
So far for each season, I've made one trip out to North Dakota and try to get as many interviews as I can. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of them, we just do remotely. We're getting better at the remote interviews, so that we try to give them as much of a in-person feel as possible. In fact, Abby's been great about, she'll actually run a microphone out to a farmer and sit there while the farmer does the interview in their shop or somewhere, and then run mm-hmm. it back. And so it's worked out pretty well. And I'll say this about Abby too, because it relates to what she just said in her last comment. She really changed my mind about what extension was. I thought it was someone who took information from the university and distributed it to farmers. And I don't know if Abby realized this on her own, or if others are kind of finding this out in general. Farmers like to learn from other farmers. And so if there's a way that you can facilitate knowledge transfer from one farmer to another, especially if in the middle, you know, you've got that scientific validation, that's the way that information spread and progress gets made. And Abby realized that and made me realize that. And so that's been part of the fun here, is it's not about us, you know, blessing the audience with our knowledge. It's about us bringing the right people into the room for an exchange of ideas. And that's really how things get done.
Yeah. I always say my role as a podcaster is to profess my ignorance while asking a semi-intelligent question, and try to get people, you know, try to learn. I'm learning here. You know, I'm trying to learn. I don't know all of these things. I'm I'm asking these questions because I legitimately want to know the answer, and I need to know the answer for my own operation. And I just have found a way to record that conversation so that other people can listen to me learn as well. So it's been a great tool for that.
Yeah, exactly. I'll say sometimes to get the smart answers, you have to ask the dumb questions.
That's good. I appreciate that. Abby, could you talk a little bit about your background? What brought you to NDSU? And I know you've shared the story, and I'll link to the Soil Sense podcast in the show notes page for today, workingcows.net/131. workingcows.net/131 is the show notes page for today, and I'll link to the Soil Sense podcast there. But could you just share a little bit of your background, Abby, and what brought you to North Dakota?
Oh, that's how much time do you have for me to answer that? Because it seems like it's kind of a roundabout way. My degree was in soils. And so that's kind of, I wanted to do soils work on reclaimed mine lands. And so I basically was working on coal mines in Wyoming. And then I moved to Virginia and did some research there with coal mines and titanium mines, like I mentioned before. And I'd met a farmer that I was working with closely. We were reclaiming titanium mines into cropland production again. So he was getting it. He rented out the land to a company. They did their mining. They returned the land to him, and he was growing his cotton and peanuts and soybean and wheat and tobacco on that land. And it was kind of working with him and Carl Clark, in case he listens to this. We drive around and we look at all this different stuff and see how he's getting his land back into production. And I thought, boy, I like agriculture. I think it's exciting. I think it's a version of mine land reclamation that is not so intense of a disturbance, but it's a consistent disturbance. And I like the family aspect of it. I liked that these were families operating these farming operations and running them in hopes that their kids could take over the farm someday. And so that perspective was really kind of unique too. So this job at NDSU had come up, and I saw that it was in soil health, and there were six positions that they created across the state. So they had one main one in research on campus that runs the research program for the state, and then there's the extension one on campus to run those programs for the state. And I was looking at the research position, and I was also looking at the extension position, it just seemed like something I wanted to do. And I had actually done my graduate research up here on the coal mines outside of Beulah, North Dakota in 2003. So I was familiar with North Dakota. I knew what the people were like. And I liked how the state was. So here I am, and I've been here 7 years, and I really enjoy it. I like the transition and in my career, and I like what I do every day. It's an easy job to come do because it's just fun every single day.
But you didn't come from a farming background, am I right?
No, not at all. I grew up outside of Cleveland, Ohio, and about as suburbs as you can get. I don't have any connection really to farming at all. So that was kind of one of the fun things too about coming here was that that I knew soils, but I didn't know farming really that well. And so the first time I was in a combine, I got in there and I sat down next to that farmer and I said, "Oh, this is my first time in a tractor." And he's like, "Yeah, you're not in a tractor, you're in a combine." So it was kind of fun, you know, and I feel like that's helped with some of the programming and the ideas, sharing of ideas, is that that there's still a lot I don't know about agriculture. And so farmers are really sharing what they do and what they love to do with me. And then I get to share what I love to do with them about soils and putting systems together. So it works pretty well for sharing a lot of information.
And how long has that been? How long have you been in the position you're in now?
7 years.
Gotcha. And so the learning curve continues.
Absolutely. Every day.
Yep. And what drew you to soils specifically?
I got my degrees in geography at University of Denver, and I was working with physical landscapes, and I was more interested in the plant communities on the surface. And it was a scientist with the Agriculture Research Service in Wyoming that he had known me as a student, and he knew my advisor, and he had encouraged me because I was going to go into ecology. That was going to be my degree. And he goes, "Abby, you need to get into soil science." He goes, "That's a career that you'll find something wherever you go and wherever you want to live." And so I got into soils that way. And I think a lot of what I do now is ecology related too, and soils and whole systems, but that's how I became a soil scientist.
Can you talk about the transformation in the soil sciences and soil health and some of those things just in the time that you've been involved in studying and up to the present day?
You know, I was fortunate when I was studying soils to work with a soil microbiologist. And so I always had an appreciation for the biological aspect of soils. But you know, there was a lot more focused on how soils form and the chemistry of them and the physical properties than there was the biology, even though I was working with a microbiologist. So that shift where we still have importance of the biological, or sorry, importance of the chemical and the physical properties of soil, this addition of the biological component has really taken off since I've been working with soils. And, you know, and the idea of soil health, you know, it, as a scientist, I always talked about it as soil quality, which is more the scientist term, but then the soil health term is more for farmers. And so the more I learned about soil health and the evaluation in the field and what it means for management on the farm, I think that that's where a lot of scientists now in soils are starting to consider that more, where maybe they didn't in the past and it was more of just a system, but now it's a system with a personality maybe. And that's where you get kind of the soil health side of things.
Tim, what's been your nature of involvement in agriculture historically and up to the present day?
I grew up on a small farm in Northern California. It was kind of a hobby farm that my dad had a lifelong dream of making a full-time income, and it just kind of never materialized that way. But what we did actually is we had a niche market selling goats and pigs to Hispanic markets and ducks to Asian markets. And when I got in high school, I got interested in crops. So I started growing a consumer direct-to-consumer pumpkin patch for every year of high school. And that all that kind of got me in FFA and led to eventually becoming a national officer in FFA. And that opened my eyes to national agriculture. Mm-hmm. I traveled the year around the country and kind of saw the opportunities and eventually led me into majoring in crop science and getting into the commodities business. Then in 2015, this is the short version, 2015, I left the commodities business to start my own recruiting company and started podcasting at that point because I wanted to sort of draw visibility to the recruiting I was doing. And that's kind of how I got here.
Very good. Abby, would you say that there has it been just a better form of communication from the scientific side of the soil quality to the farmer side of the soil health? It just seems like soil health is very in or vogue, or it's maybe it's always been this way. I just wasn't aware of it, but it just seems like that conversation is really ramping up. And I just am interested in your perspective on what facilitated that.
Yeah, it is ramping up. I mean, they've been talking about soil health since I think it was like the late 80s. There was a research article that came out on it, and it tried to pinpoint how farmers are viewing soil quality as a rebranded term of soil health. And so I think, you know, most, as you know, from the research side, most faculty, as they're going after grants, so many of those grants and requests for proposals include soil health. And so there's almost a transition that's occurring through, you know, not forced, but through if you want funding, you're going to work on soil health. And by the way, you're going to have a big extension program to get that information out to the farmers. And so, that's, I think there's a lot of the funding agencies are driving that. You know, in North Dakota, we have really great commodity groups that fund research and extension at very high levels. So if, you know, a new faculty member is coming into the university, if they want that funding, number one, it's going to have to be very applied to the farmer and their system. And then it's also going to have a huge extension program with it. So, so a lot of, you know, I mean, we know that research dollars and funding drives a lot of what universities do. And it's whether the faculty are receptive to and say, yes, I will take that on, or no, that's not my interest. But most faculty are really interested in soil health and they want to work on it. And they like that the work that they do is then being applied on farms. And you can see the fruits of your labor much more in that realm than you can just by putting out a publication and you get, you know, however many citations of it. And that's it. You never get the personal feedback that what you do makes a difference. And so I see a lot of research faculty latching onto that because that's just instant gratification that what you do is important.
Very good. If all goes to plan, this episode will come out on March 16th. And so, Tim, could you talk a little bit about some of what you're excited about in season two and some of the things that you have released? And you're releasing these weekly, is that right?
Yeah, they'll go weekly for the entire season, season two, so it'll last us into the summer there. You know, one thing that's great about podcasts, and your listeners will all appreciate this, is podcasts are great for nuance. You know, if you're really trying to understand not just the headline and not just the tweet about a topic, if you really want to understand the nuance, you can hear it in people's voice. You get a chance to dive into it in a longer format, and I think podcasts are great for that. And that's what I'm excited for here. We get into some nuances like earthworms. You know, everyone will tell you, My soil was healthier because I have more earthworms. Well, why are those earthworms there? What do we know about those earthworms? Where do they come from? How do they get there? You know, we have an episode all about earthworms. I'm working on one right now that is actually about monitoring and evaluation, which is interesting because, you know, all of us have been to conferences and we left going, boy, that was kind of a waste of money because, like, I heard from speakers and I sat through, you know, a mediocre lunch and that I spent a bunch of money just to waste my time. Well, we talked to someone who actually understands how programs should be evaluated and how to improve it so that we know that the ideas exchanged at one of Abby's cafe talks, for example, go somewhere and where they go and how they're spread. So anyway, we get into a lot of the nuance of soil health in general from a lot of different angles. And we've got farmers, researchers, consultants, extension people. We even have a zoo manager on season two.
Yeah. And Abby, let's talk a little bit about that. First of all, the cafe talks, and then secondly, the zoo exhibit. And I'm not sure where that exhibit is, but it's in North Dakota. I know that much.
Yeah. So I guess I'll start with the cafe talks. You know, we're wrapping up our winter season for that. They occur in January, February, and March. And it's basically, we just get farmers together that are interested in soil health that just want to have a conversation. So those will sometimes last 2 hours. Sometimes they last 4 hours. Sometimes half the group leaves at the end of it, and then the other half stays and you continue talking. But those have been really fun, and we're now expanding them out across the state. I think we did double the number we've done in the past, where I was running every single one of them, and now we have other extension people and researchers from our research extension centers that are across the state. They're starting to take them out and get a footprint further to the west in North Dakota. So those are a blast. I really enjoy that. And we have this evaluation specialist that Tim mentioned, Jean Haley. She's done all the program evaluation. She's helped me see things that I never could have seen on my own, just by looking objectively at the information we collect from farmers that attend those. And then the zoo director, Sally Jacobson, is on an episode too, because that's kind of a long story, but my young son likes to go to the zoo a lot. And so we noticed one year that the crops area in their children's zoo farm was not stellar, which makes sense. They're zookeepers. They keep animals alive. They don't necessarily grow the crops that would be in that field. And I don't grow crops either, but I was like, boy, I have a whole bunch of people I could ask about how to do this and do this well. And so we got involved with the children's zoo farm, and since have raised a bunch of support and funding and new partnerships to create an indoor modern agriculture exhibit at the Red River Zoo here in Fargo. So there's all kinds of information. It's about modern agriculture. It's not about old McDonald and whatever sheep and, you know, things that he had, but it's about careers in agriculture from a consultant perspective, from a farmer perspective, from extension, from commodity groups to NRCS positions, to equipment design and development. And so that's kind of a fun exhibit. And then we do an agriculture adventure day every year. And that usually draws in between 1500 and 2500 people that day, just to get information and learn from farmers. And so that's a really fun day because the farmers come out, they get to talk with a bunch of families about what they do. And they usually showcase the crops area, which is where you put most of the farmers, which thankfully it usually looks pretty good every year. I've done an okay job with it. So it's a fun thing to take on, and it really connects me to the community here and makes me see how I can help farmers share their message further.
I guess, what is exciting you about the future of soil health, Abby? What are some of the things that are kind of on your radar that you're excited about the progress in that conversation?
I think where I see it going, you know, at least in North Dakota with our program, is I could see helping farmers get other farmers together that are their neighbors, or, you know, I see Extension as taking more of a backseat as a facilitator, but just tacking on to some of these events that maybe we give farmers ideas on how to host, you know, some of their neighbors. And that's what Tyler Zimmerman and Chris Wahlberg talk about in their episode. Those are the guys that have been friends since kindergarten and farm right next to each other. And they've been doing incredible things with just, you know, getting farmers together to go look at fields and to see what they're doing with soil health. And so I'd like to be a part of that. I'd like to see how I can help farmers do more of that sharing of information and just be present, but not be in the spotlight and let the farmers be in the spotlight. So, so some of that, and then another thing I'm kind of working on now that, that I'm pretty excited about is a beer and agriculture dinner. So working with a local brewery and a restaurant and trying to get just a handful of farmers in to share what they're doing about conservation practices and soil health with people that would have no connection to it at all. And so we're going to try that out in April. And hopefully if that works out really well, maybe we could take it statewide and move it around with this brewery and get some more restaurants involved.
Sure. And do you have details that you could share on that? This will be out before that event happens.
Yeah, it's going to be on April 2nd. And I think Summit Brewing is who's hosting the event with 46 North, which is a restaurant here in Fargo. And they're actually, the best part about this is they're handling everything, selling the tickets and getting people there. Cause we realized too, that if I go out and advertise it, I'm just going to get a bunch of farmers there. We're just going to be talking to, you know, other farmers. And so, so they're going to get, you know, the people that have nothing to do with agriculture there. And we're going to try it out on a group of 50 and see how we do. And, we have great partners with it again, like the North Dakota Grain Growers Association and the Wheat Commission and the Barley Growers and our Barley Council. So any, you know, those guys that are involved with creating, you know, growing the crop to make the beer are going to be involved. So I'm pretty excited about it, but it'll be through Summit Brewing, which is out of Minneapolis, but they have local ties here to North Dakota with barley growers.
Oh, cool. And I want to be respectful of you guys and your time today. So Tim, could you share some of the other things that you're doing and then share with people where they can find the Soil Sense podcast and any link you want put up at workingcows.net/131. Now is the time to share it.
Okay. Yeah. I think the biggest thing is go to ND, like North Dakota, ndsoilsense.com. And that's where all of our episodes are. It also has links to other content that Abby has put together and folks at NDSU have put together. So definitely go there. And I think one thing that'll be especially relevant to your audience is one thing we heard several times through the first season was people wanting to bring more livestock and integrate them into their program. And so we do have more of a spotlight on that in season two, a lot more examples of how that looks in practice. And also for aspiring, you know, cattle men and cattle women out there, there's a lot of farmers in North Dakota that would love to have someone else bring the cattle and graze their land and come up with partnerships like that. So go check out ndsoilsense.com to learn more about that. And then the last thing that we haven't talked about, but I want to make sure we get on there, maybe Abby can speak to it more, is what she's doing with the Share Farm, which is up in North Dakota. It's field scale agricultural research where they partner with a farmer to experiment with some of these ideas in a local field scale basis. And it's pretty cool stuff, but I can let her speak more to that.
Yeah. Tim, you're so good at bringing up all these projects that I just kind of forget about sometimes because we just do it all the time. The Share Farm, the Soil Health and Agriculture Research Extension Farm, is a commodity funded project. That's, the first site has been in place about 8 years now, where we're working with farmers, basically evaluating the things that they want to know about. So, I don't assume that I know what they want evaluated. So I really work closely with farmers in that area or across the state to find out what they want us to look at. So, and everything's done on 180 or so acres. So we have those sites going on. There's one down in Morton, North Dakota. And then we have another one that we just started this year up in Logan Center, North Dakota. So that's the northeast corner. So we have the southeast corner, the northeast corner covered. We actually have some new partners in commodity groups that want to get involved with the Share Farm idea. So there may be some more of those sites popping up in the future or the concept spreading a little bit, which would be exciting and also terrifying because it's a lot of work. but it's a great way to show a commitment to an area from NDSU and partnering farmers that we're going to be present in that area and we're going to get answers and have ideas for them and also bring all the programs that they want, like the cafe talks and other meetings and field tours. So it's a great project funded by four different commodities groups now between corn, soybean, wheat, and also dry bean association.
And Abby, any links or any information you want me to share at the show notes page for today?
Yeah, we have a pretty extensive webpage, ndsu.edu/soil health. I mean, literally, if you go on and search NDSU Soil Health, you'll find the webpage. And there's all kinds of information on that page from videos that we've developed. I think there's 80 or so videos that are posted there. We have all of our information on workshops and things that we're hosting on the homepage, including a livestock meeting that's coming up the end of March over in Dickinson, North Dakota. And then we have booklets that we've developed where there's information in there about how to go about soil health and cover crops and grazing cover crops. And I'm trying to think what else we have on there. We have the link to the podcast. We have the DIRT workshop, the Dakota Innovation Research and Technology, which Tim came out here to North Dakota for. He hosted the Farmer Show and Tell, where we had farmers share basically what they were trying and doing with each other. And gosh, I mean, Tim, you had maybe 80 some farmers that were there that were all talking and sharing. I mean, more than half of them, or close to half of them, did share with the group, which is pretty amazing when you consider the size of the group. So Tim really got them talking and had some good ideas flowing. And so there's information on that. That'll be in December here in Fargo.
Well, if there isn't anything too major that we've left on the table, I think we'll leave it there. And I appreciate your time. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Abby.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, thanks so much, Clay. Keep up the great work. I hear more about your podcast than maybe any other ag podcast out there. So you're really resonating with the audience. So keep it up.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. Coming up next week on the show, we will be talking to Cody Spencer, a ranch manager at the Rome Ranch. They raise buffalo and they are in the direct marketing business and doing some things down there to regenerate some abused lands in Texas. And so looking forward to talking to Cody Spencer about all of that coming up next week on the Working Cows podcast. We'll see you real soon with another episode.
We invite you to visit workingcows.net to subscribe to the show via iTunes or Stitcher. You'll also find detailed show notes pages, resources from our guests, and the industry leaders who have influenced them. For more ideas on putting your cows to work for you in a more profitable way, tune in next week.